Lord, thanks for this time. Thanks for these group of students and their just desire to know God's word. I pray it would affect their everyday life and they would hide it in their hearts. Lord, we love you. In the name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, guys, there are two types of people in this world. You ready? Two types of people in this world. If this is one of your positions, I want you to raise your hand and show me which one that you prefer. So we got the first type, two types of people in this world is a cat person or a dog person. Where's my cat people in here? Oh, we got some faithful cat people back here in the back. I love it. Wait, way more than I thought. Out of all the cat people, do you guys own cats? There you go. You just like cats. All right, where's my dog people? Yeah, guys, we all know who's best. We all know who's best. All right, what about thin crust versus thick crust pizza? We got the thin crust. So who's my thin crust? Man, not a lot. What about thick crust? There you go. Yeah, eat the whole pizza. It's there for a reason. I mean, they've engineered crust now to be amazing. You got to eat it. You got to eat it. All right, next one. Two types of people in this world, Whataburger or In-N-Out. Where's my Whataburger people? Wow, that's right. That's right. Starting in Texas. There we go. Where's my In-N-Out people? Phew, y'all. Phew, y'all. Wow. Wow, I love it. All right, we got a few more. All right, this is a big one. This is a big debate, and you live in Texas, so I want to know where my taco people are and my burger people are. Where's my taco people? Wow, not many of y'all. What about burgers? Wow, okay, burgers wins. Okay, last one, this is big. We're going to the candy section. You're going down the candy aisle of a store. You get to pick Sour Patch or Skittles. Where's my Sour Patch at? Yeah, there you go. What about Skittles? Who's got Skittles? Few of y'all. I'm Team Sour Patch, so much better. There we go. But hey, guys, lock in for a second. Lock in. So there's most of y'all would say I land on one side or the other. And the reason that there's a lot of talking, a lot of opinions is because there's two different positions, right? There's two different opinions that you could have, and you could take one or the other. And Psalm 1 is going to be talking about two different paths that you can take. You can take the path that leads to happiness and joy, or you can take the path that leads to destruction and pain. And you have the opportunity to choose. And so what this passage is talking about is basically, how do you choose the path of happiness? How do you be happy? This psalm is answering the question, how do I be happy? How do I find happiness? And if I'm honest, a lot of us are probably thinking through our life, or if I had to ask you, you'd probably say, hey, I want to be happy. You know, most of us say, I probably want to be happy. If I ask your parents, they'd probably say, man, I want my child to be happy. And this passage is going to be talking about how do we find happiness, not a temporary happiness, but a lasting, fulfilling, joy-filled, content happiness. And he tells us this in this passage. We get the answer. And a lot of our world is chasing happiness and things they buy and popularity and success and status. And here's what this passage is going to talk about. It's not found in any of those things, but it's found in one path. And you can know the answer today. So I'd love to share with you what Psalm 1 has to say. So we heard the first verse. I'm going to read it through, and then we're going to talk about it. So we can throw the verse 2 on the screen. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, yields its fruit in its season. Its leaves do not wither. All that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like a chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Last verse, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Those are six verses that are full of truth, that really set the stage for the entire book of Psalms. That's where we're going to be studying it this morning. And so I want to break down this passage in three points. The first point is this, is that in order for us to find happiness, we need to know what to avoid. So in verse 1, we're going to learn, what do we avoid? In verse 2, we're going to see, what do we pursue? So now that we avoided something, what are the things that we need to go after? And so it teaches us what we need to pursue. And then verse 3 and down, we learn, what do we look for? How do we find a person that's truly happy? Not temporary happiness, but lasting happiness that the Lord calls us to. So those three things we're going to see in this passage. We're going to start in verse 1. we see what to avoid. Here's what it says. We learned, blessed is the man. Blessed actually just means the happy man. It means happy and content. So it's saying, now everything following is going to teach us how to be happy. And then it uses three words that we learn the hand motions to. It says, who does not walk, who does not stand, or who does not sit. So we see a progression right there. Someone who walks, someone who stands, and then someone who sits. And that's what we learn. Whenever you go on a journey, if I said, I want to go from here to the coffee shop down there, what would happen? I would have to take a series of small steps. And we're going to see in this passage is an illustration of a man taking a journey. And he's taking a series of small steps. And every step he takes, it gets worse and worse and worse. And that's what happens in our own life. Whenever we make a bad decision, it's really a series of small mistakes that lead up to that. And so you see that he walks, he starts by walking with the wrong people. It says that he walks in the counsel of the wicked. And what the author means right there is like he's listening to the wrong people. And so what we can learn from that is, hey, who are we listening to? Who are the people that we're listening to in our life? Maybe it's the approval of other people. Maybe it's a negative voice in your life. Maybe it's someone on the, you know, YouTube or Instagram or social media, whatever it is. Who are you listening to? Because that's going to determine the path that you take. And that person, when he walks, he not only begins to walk with those people, but then he begins to stand. So he begins to hang out with these people. So it describes a man who not only walks, but he takes more steps, and then he stands with these people. And it says in verse, or the second half of that verse, stands in the way of sinners. What happens is you go from listening to the wrong people to behaving like the wrong people. And so my question for you in that verse is what it's describing is, hey, who are you acting like? Because the saying is true. We are the sum of the five closest people in our lives. And so who do you act like? And that's going to determine what path that you ultimately go on. So we see he walks, he stands, and then after that, he begins to belong to these people. So the progression starts from walking to standing and now sitting. Like he's fully immersed, the person who goes down the destructive path, with the people that he's around. And so the question we know here and can learn from this and interpret from this is, hey, who are you spending time with? So those three questions will determine if you're going down the right path, the path of happiness and joy and fulfillment, or you're going down the wrong path, the path of destruction and pain and regret. Those questions are good questions to think about and ponder. Like, who are you spending time with? Because they're going to determine the course of your life. And that's what the passage is illustrating. And none of us wake up every morning and we're like, hey, I can't wait just to do evil things today, right? None of us wake up and we're like, man, I just can't wait to get grounded. Like, I just look forward to getting grounded, to doing chores. No one wakes up with that mindset, right? But we get there at times. And the reason we get there, the reason we make those mistakes is through a series of small steps. And that's kind of the progression. And so maybe it's not a friends we hang around. Maybe it's really just thoughts in our head that starts with a small thought. Someone told something about you, maybe made up a rumor or a lie about you, and you started to believe that. And you've taken more steps to start to become that. And then you started to behave like that, to where you're overwhelmed and you're anxious just because someone has said something to you that's really small, that started to become bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Sin is a progression. It's a series of small decisions that lead to a big and lasting decision that's hurtful and harmful if you don't follow the right path. So this author is saying, hey, follow the path that avoids these things. And then he's going to go on to say, now here's what you need to pursue. He goes in and says, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So once you've avoided the wrong people and the wrong thoughts and the wrong small steps, now you need to pursue God's word, saying your delight is in the law of the Lord. And so I don't know if you guys, like if I could ask you, you know, a question like, hey, what do you love doing? Or what do you love talking about? Or what do you get excited about? That's what delight means. Basically something that you look forward to or you can't wait to talk about. And that's what the intention for our life, that's what the intention the author is saying is that we should delight in God's word. That's something we should look forward to. We should love talking about. And so this summer, man, my encouragement for you guys is that you would take one verse, one simple verse, what maybe something that you're struggling with, maybe it's fear or insecurity or doubt or pain, whatever it is, you would take one verse in your life and that you would then begin to meditate on it. What meditate on it means is just think about it. Think about it, consider it. And we think about a lot of things throughout our day to day. We have a lot of thoughts pop into our mind. But what would it look like if you had the truth of God's word put to the front of your mind? How would that change the way that you viewed yourself and the way that you viewed others? And so my encouragement, take one verse, think about one thing that you struggle with. And as you finish summer, you can look back and say, man, I have meditated on God's word because I've delighted in his word. And it can change your life. So that's what we learn in verse 2. And lastly, we're going to close verse 3. It says, what happens? We learn about the things to pursue. And then now we learn about the things to look for. So what takes place in our life when we delight in God's word? There's something that actually changes about us when we study his word. We don't just memorize it because we have to or our parents tell us to, but actually we change. Like we change. And it uses the description of a tree. It says, the person who studies and delights in God's word, it says he is like a tree firmly planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaves does not wither, and all that he does, everything that he does, he prospers. And so it's saying, hey, you are like a tree if you study God's word and you're positioning yourself next to the stream of water, which is God's word. And what we know about trees, there's a picture of a tree next to the stream of water, is that it's growing really healthy. And you can even see its roots going down deep, like on the surface, but below that, its roots are really going down deep. And whenever a tree is positioned next to water, it's able to gain nutrients and food and sunlight and warmth and growth, and it's able to produce things in its life. And that if you guys wanna grow in your own life, like if you're struggling with something, or there's something, a part of your life that you don't like, or there's a habit or an addiction, if you wanna grow out of that, the way you grow out of that is you grow into God's word, that you go to God's word. And that's the way that you find freedom from those things. That's how you experience growth. So three things that we experience when we go to God's word, we stand next to the stream of water in our life, is the first one, is we receive support. Just like that tree receives support it needs to grow, you receive support in order for you to grow and mature as a Christ follower. And then you develop strength. Notice those roots go down deep. When roots are shallow and there's a storm that comes through, what happens to that tree? It falls over, right? Because it can't support the weight of all that wind. And whenever you guys have a circumstance in your life that you don't like, or something that's hard, or the weight of the world is on your shoulders, you're able to sustain and be steadfast and secure because you're rooted in God's word. Those roots go down deep. They're not shallow, but they're rooted. And so wind or distraction or temptation don't knock you over because your life is planted in the word of God. And the last thing we learn is that you develop strength. You receive support, you develop strength. And lastly is that you provide shade. That you're not only a benefit to yourself, God's word doesn't only benefit you, but then it goes to benefit others. That when a tree grows, it provides a ton of shade, that its leaves and its branches grow out wide, and it provides shade and a source of encouragement and relief for people. And when people look at you and you have spent time in God's word, they're going to see someone that they respect, that they admire, that they want to go to for encouragement and wisdom, because your life is rooted in God's word. And you're going to be wise, and you're going to grow, and you're going to experience freedom from things in your life that you felt pain from. And so those are three things. And so lastly, here's my initial observation over this passage is this, that the key to lasting happiness, that if you want to be happy, not just temporary happiness that's based on circumstances, but last, is to keep leaning on God's word. The key to lasting happiness is to keep leaning on God's word. And to show you what it looks like, very practically, is here's some statistics that I want to show you. Here's some facts that I pulled about a study from the Center for Bible Engagement. So these people surveyed over 500,000 people on people who study God's word at least 4 times a week versus people who don't. And here's what's true in their life. They're 228% more likely to engage and share their faith with others. People who just read their Bible and study it 4 times a week, they're 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness. They're 407% more likely to memorize scripture, and they're 60% less likely to feel spiritually stagnant. Like when you read God's word, it works, and you guys grow, and you experience freedom, and you guys develop as men and women of God. and it works. It grows. I think a lot of times we don't believe God's word changes us, but it does. You're going to be like that tree that's rooted in the ground. It will not wither or change based on the circumstances of your life. And so I pray that's true of your life as you guys memorize this Psalm 1 and that song starts to go in your head and it gets to be stuck in your head, and you guys can use that throughout your everyday life. And so we're going to break out into discussion groups really quick. So stay here. I'm going to explain the directions. But I want to pray, and I'm going to explain where we'll go from here. Lord, just thank you for the passage of Psalm 1 that it teaches us that when we trust in you, that we put our hope in your word, that you change us. And we're not only benefits us, but it then begins to bless others. So I pray we'd be a blessing to others by the way we minister to ourselves through the teaching of your word. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.